Good morning. Welcome to the first of 2 days of meditation and instruction on what it means to be available for your own life. For those of you not in attendance at last night's talk, allow me to give a brief intro and some guidance on today's proceedings. The mission of Seattle Insight Meditation Society is to offer the Buddha's teachings on insight and awareness to all those who seek them, and to support a spiritual community centered in the Pacific Northwest. The vision of SIMS encourages a personal, ongoing investigation of our own lives for the liberation of all beings from suffering. Welcome newcomers, old friends, and our teacher, Philip Moffitt. We are grateful for the support and participation of all Sangha participants according to their abilities and intentions. Here are some ways to support virtual community. We suggest that you stay connected to Zoom for the entire schedule each day if possible, and only disconnect at the end of the day. We welcome you to be fully present with your camera on, as it strengthens the sense of community and the retreat container. However, if you need to attend to other matters that would be disruptive, please feel free to turn your camera off. We've muted all yogis to accommodate necessities and realities of these virtual retreats. If you have technical difficulties, please send a Zoom chat to our tech support, Bob. Any non-technical questions, please send a Zoom chat to me, the retreat manager. You'll find our names at the very top of the participants list. The ability to send chats to other yogis has been turned off. During the Q&A, you will be given the ability to unmute yourself. Please do not send chats to Philip. If we could turn this off, we would, but we can't. So please don't send chats to the teacher. Philip will hold a Q&A, and we will be using the raised hand function, which can be found by clicking the reactions button at the bottom of the Zoom screen. A hand icon will appear next to your picture. Philip will verbally acknowledge you, and then you must unmute yourself to ask your questions. Then you'll be muted again when you're finished. Please press the raise hand button early to be placed in line to ask your question. Don't use other electronic devices during retreat. Use only what you need to connect to Zoom. And try not multitasking. Give your complete attention while you're in this retreat. And there will be a screen up during walking meditation and lunch for your return time to check in on. And again, we ask that you stay connected to Zoom for the entire schedule each day, if possible, and only connect at the end of the day. May your retreat be beneficial. Here is Suze, one of our local Dharma leaders, to say a few words and introduce our retreat teacher.
Thank you, Beth, and welcome to everybody. It's so lovely to see all these faces, some of whom I only see when Philip comes to town, and how sweet it is that he's bringing back our Sangha together. Is there anyone here who is sitting with Philip for the very first time? I don't know if I'm going to be able to see. And if so, very warm welcome to you. We're so delighted to be welcoming Philip back. He's been coming every weekend, every year, this same weekend for many years. My date books only go back about 10 or 12 years, so I don't know if it's longer than that. But we've been just delighted to have Philip come and share the Dhamma with us. Philip's been teaching meditation for over 25 years, many years as one of the guiding teachers at Spirit Rock. Many of you have been on his retreats of the Nine Bodies or the retreats of the Theravada Insight Meditation Tradition. And one of the things that we've all benefited from so much is how grounded Philip's teachings are in helping us really practice Dhamma in daily life. And this weekend, the title is Finding Delight in Practice, which if for those of you who were there last night, know that we got a wonderful introduction. Finding articles and books and recordings of Philip can be found either the link to his to all of those on the SIMS website, or you can go to his website, Dharma Wisdom. Thank you, Philip. A warm welcome from Seattle Insight. Thank you for offering us these 2 days.
Well, as I said last night, I'm quite happy to be back with you. That the SIMS is a very favorite Dharma community of mine, and so I enjoy being with you. And we've had a number of different kinds of retreats through these years, and I'm not sure how many years it has been myself. It could be 15, it could be more, I'm not sure. So this, and each year we are exploring some aspect of practice. Often these are aspects that of practice that I've been working on with other groups and with the other retreats I'm teaching and so forth. And the theme, as was mentioned this year, is around finding delight in practice. And the understanding I introduced last night as a perspective, one way to look at our practice is that we look at our practice habitually from really, it's not good enough. That we tend to find criticism with our ability to get concentrated, or we find criticism with our ability to stay present when we're doing insight practice, or we don't feel loving kindness when we're doing the metta practice, or our minds are always so restless, you know, or we get into this looping where we keep over and over again thinking about something, you know, some old home movie that we run in our heads, or we rehearse something that has already happened where we were going to say it differently, or we're going to act differently, and we do that over and over again, or we keep planning the future, or we fall into our regret, if only I should have, you know, if they hadn't done this, or so forth. And so we get into, naturally, because we're being suggested to be more skillful, so we get into looking at our practice from a kind of inadequacy, that something's got to be fixed in it. And it's true that we want to grow in our practice, we want to establish a stronger practice, but looking at it from the lens of what's not right about it is not necessarily so useful. At times we stumble into places that we really like, and we're really grateful for that, and that leads us to keep practicing. And also just hearing the wisdom leads us to keep practicing, and feeling the compassion that the Buddha offered from the very beginning of this whole practice, that all of these things lead us to keep going. But that doesn't necessarily create enough momentum to balance us back to our what would be a more reflective of the inner experience. We have lots of moments when we're with the breath, even if for you it's a challenge being with the breath a lot of the times. You still have lots of moments when you are actually present, and you're present with a chosen object, as we use the language, the anchor object of the breath. Or that you do understand about returning to the chosen object, and you are able to return to the chosen object. And so oftentimes we are able to be very empowered in our practice, And yet the felt sense that we have doesn't necessarily reinforce those moments. So we don't drop in, we don't relax in the way that would, that one discovers is most useful, just settling back into and being, letting that, trusting ourselves, trust what I've come to call the natural arising of all of the qualities of practice, that these strong practice qualities are naturally arising from being present in the first place, to the getting settled in, to getting concentrated, to getting into absorption even is natural. And that the balancing of the mind happens naturally and so forth. And so in this weekend, we're going to be exploring how to find our way more naturally into this. And that's the invitation of the practice. We will be employing the kinds of practice techniques that I teach, that I've been teaching, I was teaching last year at SIMS and the year before at SIMS. And then we will also, in the course of the weekend, do some of the different, explore some of the different dimensions of consciousness that I've taught at SIMS a couple of years, but that's been a few years since I've done that now. And with that context, we also very much will be focused on establishing our minds in for practice. And I call this the arriving sequence. And it is involves getting started in practice. You can call it a preparatory practice if you like, but we are establishing our very intention. We're coming into our own attitude towards practice and to our own heart space in terms of practice in a way that's different than just starting in, okay, start with your breath. And I've done this in part over the years. That's just what I've always done. And then more and more, I realized that it's very hard to actually get started because whatever the momentum is in our mind from the whole week, from our whole past, from what happened at breakfast this morning, whatever it is, we've got all these other things in our mind and we're kind of trying to corral the mind by jumping into a focus on a particular object. Ironically, on the retreats, as the teaching community views the first day or two, and sometimes even longer on a month long, that these are just settling down days. So that in fact, the teachers aren't expecting very much of getting started to happen very fast. And so in this approach, which again, I've mentioned last night, I sat a retreat with the Venerable Inalio, in which he did this same thing of getting us started, which would take 45 minutes, and then we would be ready to practice. So this comes with credentials in that way as well. And we've been doing this a lot in Dharma Ground, this community that's sort of built around some of these practices, which you can look that up on your own sometime if you like, Dharma Ground. And so we've done many, many retreats, and we have a lot of people that have really grown in their practice from this after having had years of practice first, but they found these kinds of empowerments useful. So that's basically the orientation for our time together. And then before we do our first meditation, just a reminder that we are practicing on retreat. So there is the precepts do apply, particularly the non-harming and then wise speech. It's not in a home practice always possible for you to maintain golden silence. That you have people that you need to interact with in various ways, and we all know that. But the idea is that you minimize external speech, and when you become mindful of the external speech, is it necessary? And is it being unnecessary? Could be because you don't want someone to feel like you've deserted them, you know, just because you're in practice. So it's not like, oh, pass me the salt, that sort of thing would be the only necessary speech, because a heart motivation speech can be useful and needed for stay connection. But the idea is in the speech that you have as much silence as possible, and you ask for the support from your family or your partner or your roommate, whatever it may be. And then do you, at the same time, you're paying attention to internal speech and being minimizing internal speech. I will make reference at various points to the commentary and avoiding commentary. And so paying attention to internal speech, and notice if it's harmful speech or is it unnecessary. One of the things we do over and over again is we comment on our own experience. We give our views and opinions of our own experience. And in doing so, we often are not helping ourselves at all. It's really funny if you get committed to watching that and you go, huh, this is not really necessary. And it's in what we're doing, the mind's got so much capacity that it wants to use all this capacity. And then there's the ego, who's very happy to evaluate how it's doing. And there we go, we're lost into this. And we may stop, but we're actually interrupting ourselves so often in our practice. And if we say, okay, I'm going to stop doing that, I'm just not going to comment, I will recognize, I will have a thought, I'll have recognition thoughts, but then I'm not going to compound that to what we call papancha in this tradition, papancha mind, where one thought leads to another, to another. And so we just stop commenting on our experience. We can recognize it's pleasant or unpleasant. We can recognize, oh, I'm grabbing at this. That's all cognition of what is. But then when we go, oh, that's here, I'm doing that again, or yeah, this is going really well. And then we kind of imagine saying to our friend afterwards, you know, I had this one sit. Don't. And so far as there's choice, don't. And so that's part of this orientation to this. And then the last bit of orientation for this moment is that we are being sincere with ourselves from a don't know mind. You'll hear me talk about these qualities of humility and dignity and integrity. It's amazing that we can get into an only semi-genuine relationship with ourselves. But much of our time, we can be in some sort of reactive mind rather than a responsive mind. We can be caught in judging ourselves. It's amazing how much we do that. Or comparing ourselves to some previous experience or to what we think others are experiencing, or what's being asked of us, or what would be really right. And then in the same way, we can, instead of staying with the experience to know it deeply, we can fall into fixing mind. And we're going to address that more formally in the next sit. But all of this around speech and our attitude and the non-harming, that first of the precepts, you know, we can be mildly harming ourselves over and over again and not really see it that way. We find ourselves inadequate. We have this judging about being inadequate or something, and it doesn't help. We are either doing it as skillfully as we can or not, and we're having, it's harsh speech, it's unnecessary speech, it's unkind speech, inner speech, and it creates an attitude. So we're we're establishing an attitude of practice that brings more delight, that brings more ease, that brings more of a feeling of that we feel authentic to ourselves and not this compensating ego reactivity. So let's see what happens with this. And watch if you already have a view about, oh, well, I like the last year when he did da 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 or something or whatever that, you know, just watch what your mind starts to do from the very beginning so that you have what? You have more choice. And more choice based on what? Your values, your deepest values. And those deepest values you have overlap with the Dhamma or you wouldn't be here. It's not that the Dhamma in a kind of list way would include everything that is your deepest values possibly, but they're in harmony. And so our deepest values get to come into play. And for those of you who are relatively new at practice, that may be what your predominant reference is. You've not come to understand the Dhamma deep enough or trusted enough to let that be your reference alone. And that's just fine. We are where we are in the process of this. But giving yourself an opportunity for this weekend to discover the range of ease and in your own relationship. And so we're bringing mindfulness to those moments of ease, of delight in this way.